Please be seated. All the saints, not a portion thereof, all the saints, not one half or another, all the saints, not just 49%, but the other 51% as well. For all the saints who from their labors rest. Upon a Thursday early afternoon, you may find us gathered in the fresh air of Marsh Plaza there to receive the Lord's Supper with liturgy and with scripture and with meditation. As we did this past Thursday in the meditation, we were challenged to remember one of the saints. We may simply say of the saints, they show us by precept and example what it means to be good, to be holy, to be godly. They reflect the divine. A question can linger, and so through the day and the rest of the week did this one. And there is Bernice Danks in 1980, she who taught nurses at Cornell all of her life, and had time to be a lay member at a conference, and had time to sing in the choir, and had time to offer counsel to a string of preachers wet behind the ears. At an administrative board, one young minister was heard to say something about routine in an offhand way, and she paused the meeting, clapping her hand on the table to say, "I teach nurses, and Reverend, remember, we call the most important things by the word routine. What is routine, that is what counts most." All the saints. Some few years later, along the St. Lawrence River, looking down into Canada, as they say there, in the dark of winter, 30 degrees below zero upon the Fahrenheit scale, one could find Seta Mo, also a septuagenarian, sitting and watching in twilight and remembering alone and remembering the hours in faith she spent as a young woman, knocking door by door in that little village so that that small, modest rural church would have windows not quite as beautiful, Marsh Chapel, as yours, but of the same maker, and almost so. All the saints. And there is Mickey Murray. At age 40, she lost her husband, also at age 40, who left her with three children and one house and no job. And she found her way to a modest position at the university through which she was able to educate those three children. And then on Wednesdays, she gathered her children and then the neighbor children and then the community children for a junior youth fellowship, providing a meal and a reading and a song and a prayer and hospitality, all the saints. And there is Ruth Lippitt some years later, not in Syracuse, but in Rochester. She, who with her husband David had studied under Ernest Fremont Tittle, that great Midwestern preacher of the mid-20th century, my own pulpit hero. They had studied engineering and had come to work in Rochester. David had died some years before, and she invited 12 of her friends to meet the new minister. We sat in her front room and she said, "The meal's ready. I want you to introduce yourselves. You have 2 minutes each. Here's what I mean by 2 minutes. Do you see this clock? Do you see this bell? 2 minutes each, then we're sitting at table." All the saints. Or Darlene Ayers, who sat right here on the pulpit side, seven pews down for a decade during our time here, was a substantial supporter of this community of faith and also found herself in ministry in Central America. She was a nurse, so for her, Sunday worship was routine. She was here every Sunday. She didn't say, like so many of us academics, "Oh, I'm an introvert who worships process, so I can't be involved for an hour in fellowship and leadership." No, she was here. All the saints who from their labors rest. Did we hear the scriptures today? So beautiful they are. Daniel, that book of dreams by the greatest of dreamers, Isaiah, Jeremiah, Ezekiel, and Daniel, who locates here in his word for us the promise of the kingdom, the divine dream of the kingdom. In who? In those, the modest, the humble, the saints of God, of whom we sing a song this morning. And then from the psalmist himself, David, or whomever, toward the end of the Psalter, we have that beautiful phrase, God takes pleasure in God's people. It's like Matthew chapter 9. I desire mercy, not sacrifice. The word there isn't desire as we think of it. It's I delight in mercy. I enjoy mercy. I'm glad for mercy. I have pleasure in mercy, reflecting the psalm to which we did sing today. Or Ephesians before us, this letter from a student of St. Paul, a deutero-Pauline letter that uses the marvelous, strange glory of a phrase, the eyes of the heart, read to us, just to my delight and surprise, by Courtney Jones, who's come to us from Delaware, Ohio. And the seminary there, next door to Ohio Wesleyan University, soon to be married down in Washington, we celebrate her presence, that your eyes, the eyes of your heart, might be illumined. And especially the gospel, if we could live it, just 1 hour, each day of each week of each year. Did you listen to the chaste, concise rendering in Luke of the Beatitudes? These blessed words meaning happy words. There's a tinge, there's a radiance, there's a strange glory too. Blessed are the poor, those who hunger, those who mourn, but challenge to those who are already full. And then you take this now for your marching cadence this week. But I say to you, love your enemies, do good to those who hate you, bless those who curse you, pray for, still resist, but pray for those who abuse you. If anyone asks your coat, give your cloak. If anyone smite thee on the one cheek, turn to him the other. Here it is. Do unto others as you would have them to do unto you, for all the saints. You are gathered now, not on a Thursday outside or a Wednesday in a service of worship in the midday, but here in Marsh Chapel upon a Sunday morning, the Lord's Day. And this nave greets you, its Gothic shape meant to inspire gathers you. It's divided chancel with beautiful ornate carpentry welcomes you. It's chapel choir and musical history welcomes you. It's pulpit with the echoes of voices of the saints of old rolling and reverberating welcomes you too. But also and especially the stained glass, the places in the lower place, we keep space, location as important as it is in the lower bank. In the higher we place the human being, the person. The glory of God is a human being fully alive. And notice them, especially today, all the saints, not just one half or the other. Francis Willard in the southwest corner, you find him next to Abraham Lincoln. Lincoln, who was placed there by Daniel Marsh to remember abolition. And then Francis Willard, nowhere near as well known, but so timely, so current today. She who through the 19th century gave 400 speeches a year supporting temperance in good things, abstinence from bad things, being the leader of the Women's Society, of the Women's Christian Temperance Union, and thereby forwarding her real program and hope, which was female suffrage. For all those years, she traveled with her soulmate, Anna Adams Gordon. And when challenged about their relationship, is the Methodist Church right now listening to its history 100 years ago? Said she, there is not a village in this land that does not have an example of two souls in council, both feminine. She died in 1898, having been born in Churchville, New York. Churchville is next door to Chili. You spell that C-H-I-L-I and pronounce it as it should be pronounced, Chili. You need to be careful with these names in that region. We had a general superintendent, a bishop, whose proposal went down solely on the mispronunciation of the town spelled M-A-D-R-I-D, which you know is not pronounced Madrid. It is Madrid. There she was born. There she was raised. She studied at Northwestern, founded by John Dempster, who founded Boston University through its School of Theology, and Northwestern through its School of Theology, and then came to lead the progenitor movement that presented finally and over time, some 20 years plus after her death, suffrage for the suffering women of her time and of all time. Why is it sometimes that we think that the canonical word is in the tenor and bass section, and the apocryphal word is in the soprano and alto, when by lived experience it's exactly the opposite? I think of Bernice, and I think of Seta, and I think of Mickey, and I think of Ruth, and I think of Darlene, and I think of all the saints. Who are you, America? We're going to see in a little bit fuller fashion in a few days. Who do you want to become, America? We're going to see in a little bit fuller fashion in just a few days. Who do you want to be, America? We're going to know a little bit more fully just a few hours from now. As we move through this season, may we celebrate the saints. No, all the saints. As Emma Lazarus said, this is your hymn. Give me your tired, your poor, your huddled masses yearning to breathe free, the restless refuse of your teeming shore. Send these, the lost, the tempest-tossed, to me. I lift my lamp beside the golden door.